Welcome to the A-News Podcast. This is episode 99 for January 18th, 2019. This podcast covers anarchist activity, ideas, and conversations from the previous week on anarchist news. It's designed to be useful to anarchists and the anarcho-curious. Give us feedback and constructive criticism by email at podcast@anarchistnews.org. For more information and usually some good commentary, go to the non-sectarian anarchistnews.org. A short editorial by Din. Gossip Girl. Before the cleansing fires of a power outage wiped the A-News slate clean, the most recent episode of The Brilliant had an intriguing comment thread going. In it, a commenter criticized the episode for focusing too greatly on the gossip/controversy surrounding corrosive consciousness rather than discussing the ideas of the book itself. At first glance, I felt this criticism might have some merit. As an anarchist, what I'm drawn to are ideas. Big, throbbing ideas! But then I remembered I hadn't actually read the book in question. What I took from this dumb little realization, stupid brain always changing his goddamn mind, is twofold. First, that I aspire to be uninterested in being spoon-fed concepts, and second, that an aversion to gossip is boring. On that first point, I have definitely been guilty of obsessing over authors and artists, watching endless interviews, desperately trying to gather up enough information to basically seem interesting and perhaps deep. I treated ideas as objects to be gathered, understood, and perhaps spit out at a later date. What I wasn't doing was actually engaging with ideas and texts, making them my own in any way, integrating them into my life. I was merely a seeker rather than an interpreter. On the second point, I want to say that gossip is a form of this engagement. I don't see gossiping with friends as something necessarily frivolous, particularly when it involves anarchy. Taking situations and ideas, chatting about them with friends, analyzing and laughing, these are the kinds of moments I long for. Moments when concepts are plucked out of the ether and shared among my immediate relations, where thoughts become part of these relations rather than abstractions. In a different and subjectively better world, this situation of gossip would be more like that described in Bolo Bolo. Quote, chatting and gossiping on street corners, at markets, in workshops, etc., is as good as any local newspaper. The type of news will change anyway. No politics, no political scandals, no wars, no corruption, no activities by states or big companies. Since there will no longer be any central events, there will no longer be any news about them. Few things will happen, i.e., the everyday media theater gets displaced from the abstract media machine in the Bolo kitchen. Whether we can take part in anything like this in this world without merely being spectators is still up for question. You tell it by the he says, she says bullshit. I think you better quit letting shit slip, or you be living with a fat lip. It's all about the he says, she says bullshit. I think you better quit talking that shit. So come on, get it.
What's new this week? A-News, Day Zero, 2019. Every once in a while, we all need a reminder that tech will let us down. This week, it was the catastrophic failure of servers. Next week, who knows? Already we have a classic suggestion for a new way to do things with no links from someone who thinks it sounds cool. Ah, tech youngins. I, for one, might argue that A-News dumps all previous content every 2 years or so. Clean slate. It's possible that Emil never fully recovered from losing all his writing the last time this happened, which provides us with several possible lessons from not storing writings you like on only one forum, especially one you don't have any control over, to various tactics to discourage people. You get to choose the lesson you like.
Eric's communication restricted. Call in to help from supporterickking.org. Eric has been moved to Leavenworth, where they are again fucking with him. He may be in hunger strike, and the only pressure we have is calls to the admins. Quote, update. In addition to calling the North Central Regional Office, it is urgent that calls begin to come into USP Leavenworth. The prison has just made us aware that not only was it a choice made by them to restrict communication, but they are blatantly lying, saying they made him aware. Not only that they are refusing to provide proof that legal procedures were followed, they are refusing to even respond to his grievances that were made 2 months ago. Leavenworth needs to be held accountable for this. USP Leavenworth, 913-682-8700. The executive assistant who lied today would, I am sure, love to hear from you. Exec assistant@bop.gov, unquote.
Call for essay submissions. beyond invisible committees, autonomous zones, and the commune. Quote, in the era of rising communes and neo-Marxism, a few of us have decided to put together a compilation zine. We are searching for essay submissions that critique communization theory, Tikkun, the Invisible Committee, and other forms of communism currently trending in anarchist spaces. Ideally, these critiques would come from individualist, nihilist anarchist, egoist perspectives. French critiques translated to English are also welcomed. Unquote. Comment thread is kind of confusing on this post and kind of entertaining. Looking forward to seeing what comes of this.
They are collecting information on people involved in social activism from and on. Translated from a Ukrainian media outlet, this is fairly detailed information about seven anarchists having their homes searched and being harassed, nominally in the name of investigating the stabbing of a nationalist. Quote, the police established the identities of only two of the attackers. One was arrested almost immediately after the incident, and was given a 3-year suspended sentence. The second likely attacker, Lukachev, is a Russian anarchist. He managed to leave Ukraine before being detained. In November 2018, he was arrested in Kaliningrad on suspicion of justifying terrorism online. The investigation into Lukachev was opened after he called Mikhail Zlobitsky, who set off a bomb at an FSB office in Arkhangelsk on October 31st, a hero online. The court decisions regarding the December 6th searches state that the activists whose homes were searched could be complicit in the attack on Dmytro Yevchenko. The warrants do not clarify on what grounds law enforcement have these suspicions, unquote.
Brawling at the wake. Syndicalism makes a cameo plus moral superiority. This seems to be a blog post from Anonymous, which is odd. At any rate, the author takes to task both insurrectos and syndicalists for wanting to manage social struggles and appropriately rains shit down on that prospect. Quote, all I'm trying to say is maybe it's time to decolonize, bruh. I think this tendency is the sour leftover muck of an anarchism which is still trying so hard, finally, to relinquish its roots as a Eurocentric middle to upper class philosophy. An anarchism in which each of our factions boil down the juice of a struggle or an outburst in order to triumphantly drink the gravy of our respective political outlooks. I have arrived to tell you to add some goddamn spice, because all this salt is fucking with my blood pressure. Also, get me some water, unquote. Yay for overworking a juicy metaphor. Someone get the author a drink. Also, I would subscribe to this newsletter.
Don't Want to Be Your Second Pillar, a response to Radical Ed Department from It's Going Down. This is a remarkably cogent piece of writing from someone at IGD. Maybe it's Peter Gelderloos as Anonymous? Quote, RED might think that by spending the first half of their article describing a dynamic interrelationship between class and other identities and oppressive systems, they've thrown off the old class reductionist millstone. But we can see them pivoting away from those arguments before the conclusion. All their intersectional rhetoric unravels with statements like, the resurging fascism in the US and beyond is only another step in a dynamic that lies at the very heart of capitalism. And, we should not see recent uprisings as alternatives to the worker struggle, but as channels into which working class radicalism is flowing. Since the situationists threw up never work tags in May of 68, social uprisings have been increasingly disinterested in letting working class radicalism flow through them. Leftists, please try to recognize this. People are not your ventriloquist dummies. Many understand their oppression and exploitation in terms that are not primarily economic, that do not involve identifying as workers. And while their ire may be aimed at the same wealthy elites as you, their relationship with those elites is often not mediated by a boss or a workplace hierarchy. Today, people find ourselves relating to our oppressors through police, ICE agents, prison guards, politicians, and yes, internet apps, unquote. This piece also calls out folks who join other groups as members of syndicalist organizations, quote, In each of these situations, syndicalists are creating more accessible, but less effective and less authentic alternatives to pre-existing struggles. Many people involved intend to support or cooperate with the movements they're joining, but by joining them through a syndicalist project, rather than on the struggle's own terms, they end up subsuming it to the needs of the syndicalist bureaucracy. At the very least, our own contribution is wasted on politicking and conflict resolution with the rest of the union, unquote. So, okay, it's activist, but on point.
Relentless Repression in Russia, Why We Will Demonstrate on Saturday, January 19th. From People and Nature, tagline, Some Socialist Ideas About Society, the Earth, and Their Interaction. This article is mostly by Misha Shubin. This is a summation of what's been going on in Russia, which we've been talking about for months now, with lots of links for even more information about specifics, more about torture and people leaving the country to avoid harassment and more torture, and announcing a protest in London in response. Quote, on Saturday, January 19, we will demonstrate in London in solidarity with Russian anti-fascists, 11 of them who have been arrested, tortured, and accused of fabricated terrorism charges are awaiting trial. Many others have faced a relentless campaign of persecution by officers of the Federal Security Services, FSB, and the police, which is reviewed in this article. Unquote.
The state shutdowns and the commune rises. J20 events across U.S. from It's Going Down. This is a reminder that IGD and CrimeThink have called for January 20th to be a day of action for mutual aid and radical networking type events. This is a report of what people have informed them will be happening along those lines, whether in response to the call-out or just what people are already doing. The most generous read of this call-out is that other people besides me missed the strong DIY ethic and goals of the days when anarchy was more directly and strongly connected to punk. Keeping our information, money, and energy out of the hands of corporations can only be a good thing.
CrimeThink's J20 Protest Simulator from CrimeThink. A fascinating exercise in reality management through gamified storytelling. Choose your own adventures are all the rage, and CrimeThink is racing that trend. Quote, after extensive research, we've prepared an interactive narrative simulation, a choose-your-own-adventure game, based on the experiences a person could have participating in the Black Bloc March against Trump's inauguration and the notorious court case that followed it. Obviously, this is a work of historical fiction. We know you would never participate in a Black Bloc, dear reader, but we have meticulously constructed the narratives from the details of real events. We hope it will serve an educational as well as historical function. Unquote. What was that line? The only winning move is not to play? How about a nice game of chess? Yeah, that's it. And yes, I did watch that movie more than once.
Audio and video. Anarchy Bang, Episode 2. Topic, home. 2 hours, people. So the kinks are still getting worked out in the second episode, but this was fun and bouncy, and no children complained in public. Not sure if that's a good thing or not. The topic of home gave people room to talk about things on a deep level or a superficial one, which is probably necessary for people not to be so intimidated that they don't participate. It's impossible to tell at this point how this show will turn out, but the combination of playing an online game and watching someone else play has probably got some legs. In case that last bit wasn't clear, two different online IRC rooms, one on Rattle and the other, the Anarchy Planet IRC room, were listening and talking to each other and responding to the show hosts in a multimedia and multi-community performance that blew this old person's mind. I would call this a strong, if occasionally awkward, beginning. One suggestion, when you get a call, you should still finish your sentence.
Episode 29, Radical Underground, New Tracks / Rap Insurrecto, an hour. Quote, on this episode, it's all music except for a clip from an interview with Kwasi Belagun, an anarchist and member of the Black Liberation Army. Most of the tracks here are from the past year, including a few anarchist rap tracks from the U.S. and some new underground tracks from Indonesia. We've also got a couple songs by Palabras and Conflicto, the rap group that Sebastian Angry Oversluige was a member of. Angry was a nihilist anarchist who was killed by a security guard during an attempted bank robbery in December 2013. His death was recently commemorated by high school students in Santiago, Chile. We also feature a track by Nepalese anarcho-punk band Rae Ko Riz, unquote.
Anarchy Radio, January 15th, 2019. An hour. A standard episode. Jay-Z engages in some oblique critique of anarchists, apparently responding to someone criticizing him, but being so opaque that I don't even know if I'm implicated. Also takes on anarchists who claim that they're post-left but are not, and A-Infos who also complain about post-leftists. The shining point was, again, Rotten's call, which apparently didn't break the technology this time, on how Jay-Z should not mention Tom Lewis without acknowledging that he's a liberal and a snitch supporter. Jay-Z allowed that point to roll right off him, as he does, mentioning only that someone needed to make that point. SMH.
The Brilliant Episode 91, Bellamy on Corrosive Consciousness. An hour and 5 minutes. Two Bellamy episodes in a row. Don't get confused. This one is mostly about Bellamy's experience with writing the book and the consequent interactions with Jay-Z about it. Bellamy seeks to debunk Jay-Z's misinformation and pleads for civil disagreements, which is hard to disagree with, even if Chisel managed to find a way anyway. See last week's editorial. Too long didn't read. Leafcutter ants.
It's Going Down podcast. From the Whitaker to the Woods, the rise of the Eugene Anarchist Part 1. An hour and 14 minutes. Interestingly, Jay-Z in this week's episode of Anarchy Radio slams IGD as a blatantly leftist all-Antifa website. That's on the 15th. This IGD podcast was posted on the 16th, but who knows when it was recorded. Presumably before John's slam, anyway. Did he not like the way the interview went? Did he want to get his licks in ahead of time? Usually, he's very happy when people pay attention to him. Oh well, already I've spent too much time entertained by the mundanity of Jay-Z gossip, so let's move on. Quote, in this episode of the It's Going Down podcast, we again return to the topic of the 1990s, this time in a two-part series that will center on the Green Anarchist and Echo Defense Movement in Eugene, Oregon. In the first part of the series, we talk with longtime anarchist John Zerzan, unquote. Interspersed with the write-up for this hour, plus of Zerzan's reminiscing are clips of Jeffrey Luer, a previous attempt to deturn the news show 60 Minutes, long before Scott Crow's effort, and some other video clips for the ADD folks among us. That 60 Minutes clip is well worth the price of admission.
Final Straw, Flower on Opposing Rockstone Mountain, 2019, and Black Flags Over Brooklyn with Kim Kelly, an hour and 18 minutes. William Goodenough starts out talking with the person from Flower, an anti-racism education and activism project, and which starts at about 4 minutes in, and Bursts of Goodness starts with Kim Kelly at 24 minutes in. Kim, who seems charming, is helping organize an anti-oppression metal concert. Quote, next up, Burst spoke with journalist, metalhead, anarchist, and anti-fascist Kim Kelly. Kim is an editor at Noisy, the Vice music site, and has contributed radical content to Teen Vogue and many other platforms online and in print. For the rest of the hour, we spoke about the upcoming Black Flags Over Brooklyn anti-fascist and anti-racist heavy metal festival that Kim and others are organizing January 25th and 26th in New York City alongside a day-long anti-authoritarian leftist gathering. We also talk about the culture wars in metal, taking radical space in mainstream publications, and more. Unquote.
Topic of the week. What, not anarchists, influence your anarchy? Anarchists have never existed in a vacuum. We are part of the world. We live in as much as we might want to destroy that world. We interact with the not-anarchist world in ways that both influence it and are influenced by it. Which, while this is true on every level of day-to-day life, it's especially true in how we engage with writing and thinking from outside anarchist spheres. At varying times, anarchists have found influence or inspiration in the work of existentialists, situationists, postmodernists, anti-state communists, tycoonists, so many ists, et al. This is both worthwhile in that it engages with the world that we live in and the not-anarchist ideas around us, and it is dangerous. Often, anarchists who take a deep dive into non-anarchist thinking end up abandoning anarchy for the more practical, the more formulaic, the more efficient. What are the non-anarchist writers and thinkers that you find influential or inspiring? Why? How do you integrate that into your anarchy? Ariel!
Aragorn! I have this vision that at some point, the opening reading of the topic of the week is actually a small radio play.
Yes.
I feel like we're heading in that direction.
I agree.
This is good. I love the statement that anarchists who take a deep dive into non-anarchist thinking end up abandoning anarchy for the more practical and the more formulaic and the more efficient. I'd like to point out that anarchists who don't take that dive also frequently end up going in that direction.
All we're saying is that we're on a mountain. In the face of a mountain.
Okay.
Driving.
Okay.
And if
are we driving the mountain? Does the mountain have wheels? Or is it more like a theoretical driving or like the driving of a herd?
Whatever it is that we're doing, it is dangerous.
Let's see. Well, I come from left liberal, second wave feminist politics. And even regardless of how much of that I want to shake, that's obviously informs my anarchy both by the things that I want and the things that I'm reacting to. But who not anarchists directly? The situationists, mm-hmm. For sure. The Society of the Spectacle is really important for me. bell hooks. I think I'm in a constant state of thinking about and turning over the relationship between anarchy and feminism, and anarchy and my blackness, my biracialness, my all of that. And bell hooks was pretty important, and a pretty important part of that. I mean, mostly just because I feel like she was kind of the first one who really, really explicitly defined intersectionality and brought all these things together and said really clearly that this is complicated and different. Mm. In a modern context. Who else? Frantz Fanon.
Really?
A little bit, yeah. Mm. You know, it's what Wilderforce? Frank.
Wilderson.
Frank Wilderson's now candid as anti-blackness. But some of what Fanon was talking about was anti-blackness
then.
But, you know, him talking about oppression, he just talked about oppression in a way that I had not experienced before. And even The Wretched of the Earth, him talking about class in the context of race and in the context of being black. And that was also different. I mean, then, you know, I'm talking about, you know, like I read this book in, like, I don't know, 99, 98. And just the conversations about these things are really different then.
Sure.
And
I mean, Fanon, Hooks, Wilderson have all been read entirely out of their context and have become very different figures than perhaps they intended to be.
Sure, for sure. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what I have at the moment. I think reading outside of anarchist theory is important. We don't know everything. And I think reflection is important. And especially reading our enemies, reading our critics, understanding where they're coming from. If there are solid grounds for their criticism, I think these things make us better, make us not just smarter, but more clever and better respondents. And yeah. So I'm a fan of readings by authors that aren't anarchists. But I'm also usually really clear about, you know, like there was a time when I was really heavily influenced by Noam Chomsky, and I am confused that so many anarchists are confused about the fact that he might maybe be an anarchist when he's not just so clearly not. He's also been very clear about that. So I guess I think that clarity is also important.
So to me, this question verges on being insulting to the intelligence. I think it's fair to call anarchism a body of literature, but the idea that every single book in that body would have a Circle A on it seems stupid. I mean, not to be, you know, too gentle or something. Of course, there's a more general sort of radical literature genre that it's fine. A lot of things in there that are worth reading and talking about. Probably for me, the author that exemplifies the kind of critical thinking that I think that anarchists should also exemplify in their reading and in their way in which they talk about their reading is Frank Herbert. And, you know, specifically in the Dune series and especially the first six books, you know, the idea of integrating the knowledge of ecology, of, you know, just sort of everything that touches the area that we would call like bioethics. Like Dune is an integrated universe where real live people are dealing with problems that are not so dissimilar from the problems that we're dealing with in this world. And by and large, you know, especially the fourth book, which is my favorite, You know, we're talking about philosophy. We're talking about intention. We're talking about power. And these are conversations that I think should be interesting to anarchists and are definitely interesting to me. And but for me, the slippage, you know, between Herbert and Foucault or you know, Herbert and Bakunin and Emma, like these. Yeah, I guess I'm not a believer that there are anarchist books and there are other books. There are books that respect us for critical thinking, and then there are genre books that we choose because we want to be informed in the history of the genre that we're part of. Frank Herbert, go.
I'm interested that you say the first six. Okay, so now we're just going to be Dune geeks.
It's fun. Actually, I do want to mention that we should talk a little bit about the server outage this week in this yes. context because you actually are a good foil to talk about it, you know. But what do you mean the first? Why are you questioning the first six? Because the first six are the ones that were written by Papa.
Right.
And that's all he wrote.
And six is Chapter House. What's five?
Heretics. Four is God Emperor.
I think Heretics is a little weak, and that's why I don't. I usually just stop at God Emperor, although I really, really did like Chapter House.
Yep.
I think that's why. I think Heretics is a little weak. Oh, in the overall just art. I mean,
the last two were written like decades after the first four.
Yeah.
So
they feel removed mm-hmm. from it that way.
I think they are.
Yeah, but if, yeah, God Emperor Dune, it's the best one. You got to read through the first three just to get to the fourth one. Yeah. So despite the lack of fires and explosion and civil unrest, A-News was down for
2 days.
2 days.
Yeah.
Yeah. How was that?
Well, it was terrible. It's worth mentioning that I wasn't paying attention during an upgrade, and the database went from being sort of like an old-fashioned, what's called but basically an old-school database to being an InnoDB database, and that made the server a lot more vulnerable. This was about 6 months ago that this happened, a little less. And when that happened, I didn't put in a new backup script to make sure that there were, you know, at least weekly backups, and the InnoDB database is more vulnerable to power outages. We had two in 2 days, which is a whole other conversation. But basically, the database crashed and burned. And I need basically an InnoDB expert to help me recover the database. And so,
it is recoverable.
It is recoverable, yeah.
I did not understand that. I understood it to just be gone.
No. It requires some TLC. But yeah, it is recoverable. But I it was more important for me to have A-News be back up and live than it was to have all the archives. And actually, there's something nice about just starting from day zero, which was on Tuesday, Wednesday, somewhere in there. Anyways, it was also nice, you know, the collective finally got to show their durability, and the collective did most of the work to get the site back up and running.
Didn't they?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And yeah, so it was a rough couple days for people who had to drive to data centers that are on the other side of the Bay Area. And you know, anytime the Bay Area has any weather, it actually is almost terrifying how much of our Bay Area infrastructure, meaning roads, electricity, et cetera, actually fail. California drivers also freak out anytime there's a chance to.
Mm-hmm.
And so they got to freak out this week.
And everything else is back up. I know the Anarchist Library was down.
Nothing else died in the way the A-News died. Well, okay. It's actually not fair. Our internal wiki died.
Did it?
Uh-huh. But we have a backup that's just a couple months old.
Okay.
But, yeah. So that's a thing.
Yes, it's a thing. Shit. Mm-hmm. Okay. None of the Anarchist Library was lost. They're compromised.
No. Nothing else was, okay. Everything else was great. It just came back up when the power came back up. Do you want to talk any more about non-anarchist influences?
I
guess Linus Torvald, or however the hell you pronounce it.
Linus Torvald?
Yeah, he would be an influence, non-anarchist influence.
Well, who was the crazy guy?
Richard Stallman.
Stallman. Mm-hmm. I think he would also be just as much.
Less so, because I'm a VI person.
Oh, my God.
The main thing that he's sort of contributed to open source is on the physical appearance level. Mm-hmm. He's sort of famous for, like, picking bits off of his clothing and his mm-hmm. body and putting it into his mouth.
And talking like a crazy person.
And having an enthusiasm that anarchists would respect.
Yes, there's that.
Whereas Linus is much more the rational, reasonable mm-hmm. person.
I do...
Oh, sorry. And Richard created Emacs text editor, which only maniacs use.
Oh, okay. You not being one of those maniacs?
Correct.
Okay.
I am a rational person that uses Vim.
That uses Vim. Oh, I feel like there's a war brewing somewhere off in the internet, and now it's going to come at us. I appreciate that you chose to go the direction of being insulted by the question. well, because it is, you know, it's appropriate. There are a lot of communists in New York, like capital C, sure. proper communists.
Sure.
Which I didn't know until I was there and had the opportunity to be around them and realized, wow, you people are for real. And they have money, which is interesting. Or so they many of
old,
them do.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, they have old generational money.
Yeah.
I mean, Verso basically comes out of millionaire Marxists.
Yeah. But what's interesting is that they don't spend a lot of time talking about things the way that we do. Hmm. This thing that you're reading, and well, you know, that thing's not Marxist, or you know, that thing is not sure. properly approved sure. by the party, or which I did a fill-in stint for a friend at a basically Marxist publisher for a few months, and you know, even in the belly of the beast, they don't. That's not what was important. What was important was the ideas and the conversations and what we're publishing. And it was just, I found that refreshing.
Yeah.
I guess. And I feel like you kind of you're never reading the wrong book.
Sure.
Engage with things and then look at them with a critical eye and know. But
communism benefits and suffers from the ways in which it is and is not an identity, especially compared to anarchism.
This is absolutely true.
Yeah.
I feel like it benefits a lot more than it suffers.
Yeah, but Marxism doesn't have fanatics in the way that anarchism is. You know, the reason why in the revolutionary moments that we can talk about anarchism and communists both existing in battle, by and large, anarchists were the berserkers. They were the true believers who ran into battle, threw their body into the revolutionary struggle, and it was communists that did the manipulating.
It's true.
They did the pointing.
But I feel like Marx has his fanatics. People who believe that every word that Marx wrote is, you know, biblical golden.
They wear turtlenecks and are easily ignored.
Well, that's also been my experience as well. And they're... For being fanatics, they're not very convincing. But anyway, I enjoyed this topic of the week. And okay. I feel like it's been a mixed bag with the last few. So here's to interesting topics of the week and servers being up and perhaps somewhere out there in the world is a semi, what's it called?
I'm not sure where you're going.
The help that you need.
Oh, I know DB specialist.
I know DB specialist who can offer up their expertise so that the world will not be robbed of its A-News archives.
You can email the collective at anarchistnews.org to get that information as to how to help. And also make sure to check out my new podcast, Anarchy Bang. You can find it at anarchybang.com. It's a live call-in show, Sundays noon PST. Look forward to finding you there, and this will be the third episode this Sunday.
Woo! Your paintbrush, my blank sheet of paper. I'm your book of the month. Read the fine print later.
Welcome to Redacted. This is Suds, and for once, I have very little to say. Jumping the shark is the moment when something that was once popular no longer warrants the attention it previously received. Particularly when attempts at publicity only serve to highlight its irrelevance. Crime Think, now has a J20 simulation game. And what that means is that everything that was once directly lived has now become mere representation.
This podcast is the effort of many people. This week, this podcast was sound edited by Lionel Mabel. What's New was written by Jackie and read by Chisel and Dim. The editorial was written by Dim. Redacted is by Suds et al. We thank Aragorn and a friend for their help with the topic of the week. Contact us at podcast@anarchistnews.org. To learn more, anarchist and anti-political books, pamphlets, and other material are available at littleblackcart.com. For news by and or about anarchists and up-to-the-minute commentary, see you at anarchistnews.org and or the Anarchist News IRC chat room linked on ANews. Thank you.